Writer Michel Jollet has heard the stories hundreds of times. His dad is an ex-con who did time in federal prison. On a recent evening, Jollet sat down with his father to record a few of his stories.
I'm nothing like my father. I'm a writer, a person who spends his days sitting at a desk, staring at a computer screen. When my father was my age, he was in a real big-time maximum security prison. It's funny because, although I know it was a big deal, I never think of the 3 years he spent there as having anything at all to do with the modern conception of prisons, that of those murders in the wood shop and the gang rape in the shower. It's more mundane than that, almost charming, like something out of Cool Hand Luke. It's a place filled with roughneck blue-collar guys with missing teeth who play poker, get in fistfights, and have trouble with the conjugation of basic verbs. I don't know if this is some sort of romanticized view of it, or if it's just the result of the fact that, without fail, my dad's stories about prison are so damn funny.
Frank Pig.
Like the one he tells about Frank Pig.
Frank was like 6'7", white dude, premature gray hair, kind of little freckles. Frank hated everything and everybody. He was great. He also had those red pig eyes. But he and I got along fine. We used to drink wine together. We'd buy wine. You could buy pills. We'd get pills. So we'd get some pills and wine on Saturday night and go to a movie. It was fine. Until one day I was working, or I came back from work, and there was Frank, and he had a guard in the air, lifting him up with the left hand, and two or three standing in front of him going, "Frank, let him go. Don't hurt him. It'll be all right." And I guess he had been drinking some wine and some pills or something, and he just went over the edge. He finally let the guard down and let him handcuff him and took him off. And that's the last time I saw Frank. He went to Folsom.
It's hard to say. Maybe it was just as bad then as it is now. I sometimes think that he has simply chosen to shield me from the harsh realities of prison life by describing them in a way that we both can stomach, like old black and white movies. Because he occasionally alludes to dark incidents that seem just as bad as anything out of Oz or Scared Straight.
It was like the Muslims, they would work out together, run together, and do their thing together, and they'd eat together, and they wouldn't talk to anybody who was white or perceived to be white or anything but black. It was like you didn't exist, which is fine with me. I mean, I wasn't there to, you know, I was do what they want to do. I don't care, as long as they didn't give me a hard time. But there was one time in the weight room I was in with this one guy, because I used to work out every day, and he was a black Muslim, big guy, and he had, I think he had like 220 or something, and he was doing some bench presses, and he got weak, and he let it slip down, and he had it on his neck, and I'm standing there looking at him, and I'm not going to help him, not unless he asks, because the guy won't look at me or anything else. So I just keep working out, but after a short time, he goes, "Hey man, can you help me?" And I went over, lifted it off his throat, put it up on the bar, said thanks. I remember every time after I saw him after that, he wouldn't speak to me, but he always acknowledged me.
When I was a child, I hated these stories. In fact, I spent most of my time trying to get away from the life that my father had led. It drove me. I never drank in high school, never smoked. At night, I would be up until 1 or 2 in the morning studying chemistry or calculus, completely obsessed by the desire to not turn out like him. He had a bad temper, the purpose of which was to scare people. I'm sure this helped him in prison, but I resented it. I didn't hate him. I just hated the idea of not having any other options. I hated that with his 9th grade education, he couldn't help me with my homework like my friends' fathers did. I sometimes felt like I was a marked person, you know, the child of a felon, a product of the crazy life my dad had led, destined for drug addiction, jail, mediocrity. It was a constant source of tension. All right, maybe I laughed once or twice when he told the one about skidding his motorcycle across the border.
This is a great story. This shows, in those days, how aware the Border Patrol was. I had got arrested and taken to jail for, I think it was some checks I'd written that were no good, for large amounts of money. And I went in front of this judge, and I said, "I'm not guilty," and I did this whole thing. And he let me out on my own recognizance. He says, "We'll let you go and just appear in like 30 days. Well, I never appeared, so they had a warrant out for me. So I was on this matchless motorcycle. I was heading down towards Tijuana to cross the border. I'm going like 80 or 90. And right as I came up to the border, I go to hit the rear brake, and the bike comes out from under me. And I actually skid right across the border, grinding the grip off on the left side of the bike. And the guy, like, watched me as I go by. Like, he looked from left to right. And then he waved for me to come back. We go inside. And here's the funny part. My picture is up on the wall behind him. Because I was wanted. I go, all right. But nobody picked up on it.
It's hard to stay mad at a laugh like that. When I was 15 years old, I was terrorized by a 12th grade headbanger. So I told my dad. At first, I expected a calm, paternal response, the kind you would expect from the staid suburban fathers of my friends in class, a call to the principal or to the headbanger's parents. He did none of these things. Instead, he listened calmly, thought for a moment, and replied, "Well, you know, you're going to have to kick his ass. Just because he's bigger don't mean nothing." So absurdly, half an hour later, I stood in the driveway in front of our house with my dad, receiving instruction on how to throw a punch, how to scream really loud to scare people, how to duck so I wouldn't get hit. He held a pillow while I punched it and told me things like, "There's no such thing as fighting dirty. Once you're in a fight, win." Monday morning arrived and I went to school completely terrified. I was literally shaking as the bully walked up to me for my daily belittling. But instead of cowering away as I'd always done, I mustered every nerve in my body and threw the hardest punch I could, landing my fist squarely against his jaw. Now in my life, I'd done a lot of achieving. But never once was my father prouder of me than he was at that moment. He beamed. At 28 years old, I think I'm probably my father's best friend. We watch basketball together, call each other to tell off-color jokes. He's sick from complications of the heart and liver, the result of all those years shooting junk in jail. I know he thinks a lot about his life. I know he has regrets, though he never says it. And I don't know if it's just some strange fluke of convergence that happens between fathers and sons when the boy grows up and both become men. But I've come to see him as a remarkable person. Because there's this whole other side of him that has nothing to do with heroin or prisons or fighting. The side that laughs at life with that infectious cackle. The guy who would never hit his kids or disrespect an old lady or raise his voice to a dog. The guy that to this day calls his 93-year-old mother every morning to see how she's doing. And I feel lucky to have had him around. 100 arrests, drugs, knives, convictions, stolen cars, pill popping, fraud, none of it mattered. All that mattered was the basics, the attention, the advice, the jokes, the fact that he would always give whatever he had to give for whatever it was worth for any problem that came up. Because it really is good advice, you know, whether it's a bully, a test, prison, cancer. Keep your elbows in, son. Stay on your toes. Don't be afraid. You may be smaller, but you're going to kick this guy's ass.
Michael Jolé lives in Los Angeles. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.